the 97.9 The Hill and chapelboro.com Community Forum. Our monthly forum features Chapelboro's elected officials and community leaders debating topics affecting our community and you. The 97.9 The Hill and chapelboro.com Community Forum begins now.
Welcome into the WCHL Community Forum for the month of January. 2019 may be barely 3 weeks old, but there's already been enough action with the UNC system, and in particular, the flagship campus in Chapel Hill, to seemingly fill out a calendar year. Over the course of the next hour, we'll try to catch you up on all the events that have been going on across our community. UNC Chapel Hill Chancellor Carol Folt announced in mid-January that she would be resigning at the end of the academic year. Her announcement was coupled with a directive to remove the remaining base of the Confederate monument on the campus known as Silent Sam. That work was carried out, and the foundation of the pedestal where the statue had stood for more than 100 years was dug up by workers. The UNC System Board of Governors met multiple times, spending hours in closed session before accepting Folt's resignation, but on an accelerated timeline, the end of January. Chair of the UNC System Board of Governors, Harry Smith, spoke with reporters after moving Folt's exit up to January 31st.
There are definitely camps in this, and so, you know, at the same time, it gets very difficult, I think, to operate when you take a decision like that and you execute on that manner. So our focus is and always will be what's in the best interest of the institution, and we felt strongly it was time to go ahead and make a change and allow the institution to move forward.
Smith said the earlier timeline was not a punitive action against Folt, but there was clear frustration with what had transpired over the previous 24 hours. Smith said he was happy with where the board left the issue after its meeting in December, with five members of the Board of Governors working with the campus to determine a future for the monument.
We've got members assigned, and so, you know, I thought we had a really, really healthy process. I will tell you, we would have loved to have had the conversation about this action, and we would have welcomed this conversation. So from my perspective, we never gave UNC a reason to do this.
Smith was critical of what he saw as Folt acting outside of the governance structure.
The fact that we may not like governance and process doesn't give us a right to usurp it. And whether you have the authority to do it or not, it isn't congruent with the fact that we should follow the proper process and procedures that we had laid out, and it was working really, really well.
Folt said in a conference call with reporters earlier in the day Tuesday that maintaining the safety of those on campus was her responsibility. Smith said the Board of Governors will remain committed to bringing a recommendation for the future of the monument in mid-March.
There's no doubt there's some strain. I think that's very fair. It's a bit stunning based on how this has gone. UNC Chapel Hill felt they needed to take this kind of draconian action, and I think that's what it is. And so when you start scheduling cranes at night and key and critical stakeholders aren't involved, it's just unfortunate.
There's now transition going on at the system level and at the flagship campus. Dr. Bill Roper has taken over as interim system president after Margaret Spelling stepped down from that role 3 years into her five-year contract, although Spelling's is still on the payroll and on call through March 1st. Smith said that Roper had already been on the phone as of Tuesday afternoon looking for a candidate to replace Folt on an interim basis. The Board of Governors will then be involved with two major searches, one for a permanent system president and one for the chancellor of the system's flagship university.
We are where we are, so I don't think we're going to have that debate because we're going to do it.
Chancellor Carol Folt explained her decision-making in a conference call with reporters after announcing she would be stepping down, but before the Board of Governors moved that timeline up to the end of January.
I announced that I had authorized the removal of the base of the Confederate monument and the tablets, the commemorative tablets, from Occorco Place, and overnight that work was completed safely. As Chancellor, the safety of UNC Chapel Hill community is my clear, unequivocal, and non-negotiable responsibility. The presence of the remaining parts of the monument on campus posed a continuing threat to both the personal safety and well-being of our community and to our ability to provide a stable, productive educational environment. We all know that no one learns at their best when they feel unsafe. Last November, I had convened an independent panel of safety experts together with the Board of Trustees to help us review options for the monument in response to the Board of Governors' request. And this safety panel made a very strong and compelling case for the risks to public safety associated with the monument and the artifacts, and we received that in a report given to us in November. The fact is that despite our best efforts, even since that time, threats have continued to grow and place our community at serious risk. This led me to take the action I authorized and took yesterday. As I've said before, safety concerns alone should preclude the monument from returning to campus. This was also the strong preference of the UNC Board of Trustees in our report to the Board of Governors. The base and the tablets will be preserved until their future is decided. While I recognize that some may not agree with my decision to remove the base and tablets now, I'm confident that this was the right one for our community. It's one that will promote public safety, enable us to begin the healing process, and renew our focus on our great mission. Of course, yesterday I also made another announcement. I let the campus know that I've decided to step down as chancellor following graduation at the end of the academic year. You know, from my own perspective, at the start of the semester and new year, I'm always thinking about the future, about possibility and promise, and I'm always filled with a sense of the limitless potential that makes Carolina such a vital place. It's been the privilege of my life to serve chancellors at this great university, and I'm deeply proud of what we've accomplished since I became a Tar Heel nearly 6 years ago in 2013. I'm also thinking now about my own new and next, and I'll be working with people to take on challenges, solve problems, frameworks for success, and act to achieve them while I'm still here for the remainder of my time and as I look forward. It's been such a pleasure to work here over the years. We've created a deep and thoughtful shared vision for Carolina, the first strategic plan for the entire university called the Blueprint for Next. And we used that to propel our historic campaign for Carolina, passing our mid-campaign goal of $2.25 billion ahead of schedule this summer. We have a dedicated staff and faculty. The schools are thriving. The students and alumni are succeeding. We've raised nearly $500 million in scholarships and aid, and the community is making discoveries every day that save lives and advance our society. As I've thought about that, I decided it was the right time for me to pass the leadership of our outstanding university with all this momentum to the next chancellor and look ahead for my own new and next.
Fault also spoke with us at WCHL after that conference call with the media at large.
That's kind of a big one. Let me try to figure out how to break that down into a couple pieces. But I had been working on all these things for many times. I've been thinking about my own path forward, and in some ways these are very separate for me. What I do as the chancellor and running the university and working with students and leading the campaign and all those things have been very much a part of my thought about my future. I spent the holiday with my family. We talked about a lot of things like that. And I felt pretty certain that I needed to make that decision, that I decided that 2019 was the time for me to move to my next, and that I thought that with all the momentum going here, it would be excellent for the new chancellor. So that was going on in my mind. I've also been very concerned about public safety, as you know. Over the holiday, it was a chance when we weren't having the issues of safety so directly for all of us to think about it. I had the report from the safety panel that led us to understand fully the real risks and stresses to a campus that is under constant threat of disruption. And some of those could be very dangerous. We had talked quite a bit about what the options were for me going forward, and I decided when I returned that I would exercise my option as the person in charge of public safety on the campus to remove the base and the commemorative tablets to a safe and secure location. I think it will be very helpful for the campus because I think now the campus can feel safer. We can go about the business of this university, which is very important, and it does give probably more space for the Board of Governors as they go through their own deliberations about what they believe should take place.
You've mentioned the desire that it be moved off campus repeatedly whenever we're having this, but the legal groundwork wasn't there for that. Has that changed in your mind, or you just feel that the report from the public safety panel that you referenced was enough initiative for you to be able to legally make this move?
Well, I think there's two very different questions. One is legally removing an intact monument, which I don't have. This is not an intact monument. These are pieces of a monument that no longer exists. So that's one thing. I'm not destroying them. I move them to a secure location. But I do think that we have much better and fuller understanding of the public safety risk. And so I'm making this decision based under my authority as chancellor to really take responsibility for campus security. So I think these are a bit different. I think the circumstances really changed when it wasn't an intact monument, and I think it also changed when he had much more data in hand. And then when I returned, I found that it was also continuing. It wasn't going to be abating. And a lot of that activity was taking place right around those artifacts. So I think it was important to do. They are securely placed right now, and they were. It was done very carefully and very professionally. And I think we did it in the right speed because we're able to go on about the business of the university at the start of the term.
You talked about a lot of the accomplishments over your what will have been 6 years as chancellor of UNC. Do you feel like it is in a healthy place right now in terms of the work that has been able to go on, the monument now being gone, but also there's obvious pressure coming from the Board of Governors that has drawn some criticism kind of nationally in academic circles?
Well, I think there's a couple different ways to answer it. When you go back to just the business of the university, every single one of our metrics is as high as it's ever been. More applications than ever. Our faculty are fifth highest in research, over $1 billion. All of that has increased substantially in the last 5 years. We've seen our alumni meet the call for philanthropy in an unprecedented way. Last year we were over $600 million, you know, so we're more than halfway to our campaign. And what I know that everybody else doesn't know is the nature of the things going on, the kind of exciting research here. People are going to be coming up with cures and changing the world. The curriculum that's being offered in these schools is going to be really exciting. So if you're looking for a new chancellor that wants to come to a great institution that is still on the way up, this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And it's the kind of moment that a transition makes sense. The next person comes in, they take this momentum, and they do that for the next 5 or 6 years. I think it makes sense in that way. All of higher education is in a different place than they were 10 years ago. There's much more tension at every school. We are dealing with our governance structures. We're dealing with political systems. We've got sexual assault issues. We've got changes in the way we run our athletics programs. I mean, everything is different. So universities need to be aware of all that, too. And what we need to do is run great universities in the face of that kind of pressure and find a way to do it well. I don't think you're ever going to say to a new chancellor, there's not going to be controversy, because the normal is that there will be. But are you prepared to do it? Do you have the right people in place is always the bigger question. And it's never just unequivocal, everything's fine. You know, that wouldn't be realistic. But I think this institution is a great one, and I think it's in really good shape with what we're doing on campus.
Is there a message to the campus or the kind of Chapel Hill community at large that we haven't been able to talk about yet that you would like to share?
Oh, yes, thank you for saying that. You know, one of the reasons I think UNC Chapel Hill is so good is because of their relationships with the community. Really, thank you for reminding me that that's part of what I think has really been important. And, you know, I think there's always been good, I mean, the Chapel Hill and the surrounding towns are all very interdependent. But, you know, that all the things that are happening on Franklin Street, we've made amazing partnerships with the mayor. We have done more building down there. I mean, that is an incredibly dynamic place. You know, I started 4 new vice chancellorships in the time I was here, and one of them was in, you work with Joel Curran, it's the whole community relations and communications group. It used to be all combined in one. That group is now very, very effective, and I think we're poised to do a lot more with our community in that way. Then we have all the outreach through the hospitals. We have a new chancellorship in development. We have a new chancellorship working with government relations, and we have a chance to really work on entrepreneurship. When I came here, one of the very first things I did was authorize spending for the work together in the Northside community. And I'm going to always feel so privileged to have been in the position to make that decision. That was an example. I was also make the decision to get going on Carolina Square, to build Current. And also, I was able to put in place the money to support the Men's Center. So every time we get to do that, and then we do it in partnership with our local relations, we do something really special. So thank you. That, I do think, is what makes it a great place to live, is that you have a great university embedded within a great community.
Reaction came in from across the community after Fault announced those two decisions. We'll have pieces from that reaction when we return to the WCHL Community Forum for the month of January.
Welcome back to the 97.9 The Hill and Chapelboro.com Community Forum. Our monthly forum features Chapelboro's elected officials and community leaders debating topics affecting our community and you. Now back to the 97.9 The Hill and Chapelboro.com Community Forum.
The month of January for the WCHL Community Forum, we're taking a look at the events of the last couple of weeks centering on the Chapel Hill campus, the flagship of the UNC system. UNC Chapel Hill will need an interim chancellor by the beginning of February after a tumultuous series of events on campus. Chancellor Carol Folt made two surprise announcements in mid-January, one that she would be stepping down at the end of the academic year, the other that she had authorized the removal of the remaining base of the Confederate monument on the campus known as Silent Sam. The UNC System Board of Governors subsequently held two emergency meetings. At the conclusion of the second, the board announced that Folt's resignation would be effective at the end of January. UNC alumnus and North Carolina 4th District Congressman David Price spoke with WCHL about the recent events at UNC.
My thoughts on this are very sad and regretful that it's come to this. Confederate monument at the gateway to the campus should have been removed a long time ago. It brings up a sad and difficult and divisive past. It belongs probably in a history museum somewhere. Certainly doesn't belong at the gateway of the campus. And I regret that the Board of Governors has never understood that, and that they've stood in the way for months, now years, of a solution to this challenge. And of course, Chancellor Folt has been caught in this. It's been a preoccupation necessarily of her chancellorship, and so she did what she thought simply had to be done in terms of arranging for the remains of that statue to be removed, and you know the rest of the story. I commend her for doing that. It was difficult, still is difficult, but the Board of Governors has been distinctly unhelpful, and now to do what they've done with respect to her tenure personally, I am very, very sorry to see this. I think it's a sad day for the university.
You've got a very academic background, of course, with a lot of ties to Chapel Hill, and now we've got a presidential search for the system going on at the same time as a chancellor search will be going on at the flagship. Do you feel as though the UNC system is in a healthy place right now?
I think it's at a very difficult place right now, and I appreciate Marjorie Spellings' tenure. She also didn't get all the support she should have had from the Board of Governors, and in a time that was challenging. Of course, this Confederate statue has affected her tenure as well as a lot of other issues. And then there's the overarching reality of declining support for the university from the Republicans over in the General Assembly. They've not done UNC or the UNC system any favors in terms of overall support at a critical time for higher education. So, yes, I think the system is at a point of great difficulty now, and these leadership vacuums underscore that. I know Bill Roper and admire him and wish him well. I'm glad he's available to take over in this interim role at this point. But thanks to the Board of Governors and the political polarization that they represent, this is not an easy time for him or for anybody else who cares about the university.
Again, that was Congressman David Price. Meanwhile, Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger told WCHL's Aaron Keck that Folt's departure would be a loss for the community as a whole.
I'm very sad to see Carol go. She's put a lot of good things into play at UNC. I know how much she cares about students and education and trying to move forward. The scholarship programs, the open access to everyone, the new partnerships for entrepreneurship. There's a lot of good things that have been happening. I also know she cared very deeply about getting rid of the statue and the pedestal. So kudos to her for standing up and doing the right thing, even though she was pretty sure of what that outcome would be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate that our Board of Governors feels very differently from how the community feels today. We're grateful that she was willing to take this bold step.
Yeah. So what does it mean for the town of Chapel Hill to have that space at McCorkle Place not have a monument for the first time in 105 years?
It's really helpful because there's no longer this monument that represents white supremacy right at our doorstep, but it also, there's no longer a gathering point for people to rally. And our biggest concern has been that someone was going to get hurt between the protesting and the counter-protesting. As I said before, we're exhausting our resources trying to keep people safe. So we're hopeful that there won't be any more gatherings that would cause strife between individuals. We're very glad it's gone for the other reasons, but this one for us is very, very helpful.
The conversation about the future of that site and the monument is still going to go on. There's still that March 15th deadline of the Board of Governors. That hasn't changed. And I know in the fall, there was that conversation that led to the proposal for the $5 million building that got rejected. And one of the concerns about that conversation was that other stakeholders, including Town of Chapel Hill officials, were not really involved in it. How involved have you or town officials been in the conversation that's going on now?
The town's not privy to whatever the Board of Governors is doing. We do have good communications with our Board of Trustees. They know our wishes. I mean, they know it and our preferences, and they know that. We will wait to see what happens in March. I will say, not only did the pedestal come out, but the whole foundation part came out. So it would be very hard to put it back, very time-consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Board of Governors is pretty aware that it would cost a lot of resources to maintain security and things like that. That's what that proposal was showing them, that how much they would have to actually invest in order to keep people safe. And that's a lot of money that could be used towards education. And I think there's other opportunities for the statue and pedestal to go into a museum or contextualize somewhere else. So we'll see.
Again, that the reaction from Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. While the action to remove Silent Sam was welcomed by many in our community, President of the Chapel Hill Carbaryl NAACP, Anna Richards, said the move took too long to come about, while Richards was speaking with WCHL's Aaron Keck.
My biggest regret is that this didn't happen 18 months ago when there was a door open to say, for safety, and that's what the chancellor largely cited as her reason for wanting to take the rest of the statue away. You have an opportunity to move it. And I think about all that's transpired, the total disruption of the university and the town over the last 18 months. And you just really, in hindsight, I thought at the time, take the move. And to say these two things aren't related, which is what I understand the chancellor says, I have to believe that they are. And they were connected in the statement. And mm-hmm. I think, making the courageous, I'll say, although that's hard to say at this point, but the decision to remove the rest of it, recognizing that her days were probably numbered, so resigning at the same time or handing in a planned exit. Of course, that got speeded up, but mm-hmm. I am sad and glad at the same time. I think sad because I think that we've all gone through a lot of turmoil that could have been avoided,
mm-hmm.
but very happy to see it down. Very happy to see it down.
And obviously we've still got some months yet to go in terms of the conversation. In Chancellor Folt's statement, she said, I'm taking it down, but it's going to be stored in a safe
right.
place. And that conversation is going to go on until at least mid-March about, what do we do with the monument long term? But But supposing, and I can't imagine it going back up in that site. So carrying that road down, if it doesn't go back up there in McCorkle Place now, is just that empty space where the monument has been for 105 years. What does that mean for Chapel Hill? What does that mean for UNC? What does that mean for our community? What does that mean for history?
Well, let's see. You don't have to have anything there.
Right.
Right. So let's start with that. But part of the challenge with it being there is this is the front door to the university. This is the welcome that students receive when they come into the University of North Carolina. In many ways, it's a front door to the town as well, right there on Franklin Street. And so, her statement was that it was going to be stored until the decision is made. But I think for the town, it opens up that space to say what the university is supposed to stand for, that all are welcome. Come. It's an opening. It's I'm not one. There are, many folks who feel that something else should go there and that there needs to be another kind of monument. There doesn't have to be anything there. And honestly, I think that location, because of its legacy, taints anything that goes there. To me, having, that open door that says, come, all are welcome, all can learn here, all can grow here, all can be who they are here freely and openly, to me is what university, if you think of that in terms of what a university is supposed to represent. To me, that's a fitting enough monument. I don't feel like something else has to go there.
Again, that is President of the Chapel Hill Carbaryl NAACP, Anna Richards, speaking with WCHL's Aaron Keck. You can get more reaction from across the community on the decision by Carol Fault to step down as Chancellor of UNC Chapel Hill and remove the base of the Confederate monument on the campus known as Silent Sam by visiting our website, chapelboro.com. Transition is underway within UNC already, of course. Dr. Bill Roper has officially taken over as the interim system president. He's leading the effort now to appoint an interim UNC Chapel Hill chancellor. Roper addressed the university community in his capacity as interim president for the first time at the UNC System Board of Governors meeting on January 25th. We'll hear from Roper after this as we continue on with the WCHL Community Forum for the month of January.
Welcome back to the 97.9 The Hill and ChapelBorough.com Community Forum. Our monthly forum features ChapelBorough's elected officials and community leaders debating topics affecting our community and you. Now back to the 97.9 The Hill and ChapelBorough.com Community Forum.
Welcome back in the WCHL Community Forum for January, looking back at the last few weeks at UNC, both with the system and the flagship in Chapel Hill, with plenty of news coming through, trying to catch you up on everything that has been happening. Dr. Bill Roper is a known commodity around UNC and Chapel Hill. He has spent more than two decades leading portions of the university, including the most recent stint as Dean of the UNC School of Medicine and CEO of UNC Healthcare. Roper announced last year that he was planning on stepping away from those roles this spring, but he's now been called into action in a larger capacity for the university system. Roper was tabbed as the interim system president to replace Margaret Spellings, who left the role 3 years into a five-year contract. Roper addressed the university community in his capacity as interim president for the first time at the UNC System Board of Governors meeting on January 25th.
North Carolina has been my home for 22 years. Public service has been my vocation for more than 40 years. This opportunity to lead the state's finest public institution is an unparalleled honor. The call to serve is something I take very seriously, and I intend to lead over the coming months. Some of the best advice I've received since I accepted this position is simply this: I should do the job of president for an interim period, but I should not act like an interim caretaker. The issues we face are too pressing for a caretaker period. I intend to keep this system's foot on the pedal and to do so for however long this board deems appropriate. We're one of the top university systems in the nation. We can and we will be the very best. Getting there takes stability, planning, and vision. I've had the honor and the privilege to lead some great public institutions before, from the federal agency that governs Medicare and Medicaid, to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, and to UNC Healthcare here. This isn't my first rodeo, as they say. And I believe that great leaders have a three-part role. The first is to chart a strategic direction for the institution. And this board and this system have done that through the strategic plan that you all have championed. It's a plan with the strong support of our chancellors, and it's producing exceptional results. As President Spellings announced at the last meeting in December, the UNC system has surpassed its first-year targets in 11 of 12 areas. Areas like low-income and rural student enrollment, research productivity and critical workforce degrees, graduation rates and achievement gaps. We'll be announcing data showing how each of our 17 institutions have progressed further towards their own specific goals in March. I intend to carry this work forward, and I intend to continue our focus on accountability. Our strategic direction remains the same, getting more students from more backgrounds into and graduated from college, and doing so faster, more conveniently, and more affordably than ever before. If the first role of a leader is to chart the strategic direction, then the second is to deal with the external factors that can affect it. Public institutions must be accountable to the public, to the legislature, to their governing boards, to the media, to the taxpayer. And making the most of all of those relationships is surely my job. Being held accountable for our mistakes and our shortcomings is surely my job as well. And helping prevent distractions for those who do our core work every day of teaching, research, and service, that's also my job. There are a number of people in North Carolina who care about higher education, and we're very strong because of that. But we must have calm and stability, regular order and process, so that we can all keep our eye on our students, our classrooms, our labs, our hospitals, our communities. And finally, my third role as interim president is simply Management 101. It is to empower and give resources to the people doing the real work and then get out of the way and let them do their job. Yesterday, the Committee on Public Affairs and the Committee on Budget and Finance considered a strong, unified set of legislative priorities that will help ensure we give our institutions the resources they need and that we then get out of the way. And I'm encouraged by those priorities. They include a number of items designed to make this university system run better. And when leaders have flexibility, the kind of flexibility that private sector CEOs take for granted, they excel. With this board's blessing, I'm asking our elected officials to empower our system to rise to that level. I hope they will trust this board and its president to be held accountable, but to do so with flexibility to lead effectively. Our proposed priorities this year are also unique. It's the first time we've presented a united agenda with our friends and partners in the North Carolina Community College system, and it's intentionally a system-wide agenda. It's not a grab bag of institutional priorities. We will speak with one voice in Raleigh, one voice united by the need to get more North Carolinians through college and to give them the opportunity that comes with a good education and a degree. As Benjamin Franklin famously said years ago, we must all hang together, or most assuredly, we will all hang separately. I'm proud to stand with so many other leaders across this state behind a united legislative agenda, and I look forward to continuing our conversations with lawmakers about the opportunities ahead of us. The strong leaders at every level, from the classroom to the boardroom, are why we are one of the best systems of public higher education in the nation. And I'm here today having followed some terrific public servants. Margaret Spellings is a friend, a visionary leader, and a towering voice in education policy. Our strategic direction is strong because of her and her team. And I know I speak for many in our state in saying I'm grateful she helped elevate the UNC system during her time in North Carolina. Carol Folt is a friend and an outstanding leader of an outstanding flagship who has stewarded and guided her university through treacherous waters. From where I worked at UNC Medicine and UNC Healthcare, I'm grateful for her unwavering support for the cutting-edge research and work we did together in communities large and small across our state. North Carolina owes Carol a debt of gratitude for her service and commitment. The leadership bench at UNC Chapel Hill is strong. On January 31st, we will have strong leadership in place to continue that institution's progress. My top priority over the past week has been to find the right interim leader for UNC Chapel Hill. And I'll be speaking with faculty at Carolina later this afternoon with student representatives soon after that. But right now is an important moment, and I believe in full transparency. So I want to tell you the criteria that I bring to this task of picking the next interim chancellor. First, it is an interim position. There will be a national search to come later for a permanent chancellor. That said, the interim person must lead in the fashion that I described earlier. Carolina cannot and will not drift during an interim chancellor's tenure. Secondly, this person, I believe, must be someone who is a well-known entity here in North Carolina. They must be ready to start on day one, and that means they cannot afford to spend months getting to know the lay of the land. Third, this interim chancellor must be a person of stature. Carolina needs a leader who has the gravitas to lead. We need an interim chancellor who will be able to chart the right course ahead and to push back where needed. And finally, the next interim chancellor must be someone who has the trust of our leaders and who has my trust. We're not in the business of micromanaging key leaders across the state. We have 16 other strong institutions, from Elizabeth City to Cullowhee, and our state rightly expects all of our institutions to receive the attention and support they need to thrive. We're working hard to identify the right interim chancellor. In the meantime, I'm confident that UNC Chapel Hill will have strong leadership. UNC Chapel Hill has important work ahead. Finally, I want to acknowledge several people who are joining the team at the UNC System Office as part of a transition team. They are Chris McClure, Pete Brunstetter, Jim Blaine, Dan Gerlach, Bernadette Gray-Little, Charles Leffler, Carol Lewis, and Andy Willis. I ask you please to join me in thanking all eight of these leaders for stepping up and joining the already great team at the UNC System Office during this transition period. I want to thank this board and this system again for the opportunity to serve. I've had the chance to meet many of this state's leaders over the past two decades, but I look forward to meeting many more as I wear this new hat as your interim president. I believe education and healthcare are the pillars that can uphold and transform our communities. I believe it's true in our biggest cities and in our smallest towns. And I believe that the chance to serve, to play a part in making an impact for the people of North Carolina, is a great and noble honor. Thank you for the chance to do so.
That again was Dr. Bill Roper, now in his role as interim president of the UNC system during a time of great transition, as the system is now searching for an interim chancellor for its flagship campus in Chapel Hill. We'll hear more from Roper and Chair of the Board of Governors, Harry Smith, as we wrap up the WCHL Community Forum for the month of January next.
Welcome back to the 97.9 The Hill and Chapelboro.com Community Forum. Our monthly forum features Chapelboro's elected officials and community leaders debating topics affecting our community and you. Now back to the 97.9 The Hill and Chapelboro.com Community Forum.
The WCHL Community Forum for the month of January is taking a look back at the totality of the events over the month as it relates to the UNC system and the flagship campus in Chapel Hill. Chancellor Carol Folt made two surprise announcements in mid-January, one that she would be stepping down at the end of the academic year, the other that she had authorized the removal of the remaining base of the Confederate monument on the campus known as Silent Sam. The UNC System Board of Governors subsequently held two emergency meetings. At the conclusion of the second, the board announced that Folt's resignation would be effective at the end of January. Now, Chair of the UNC System Board of Governors, Harry Smith, has been at the center of the controversy and discussion involving Silent Sam since taking over as chair of the board in July. He attempted to reassure the campus community at the Board of Governors meeting on January 25th.
I wanted to start out thanking Margaret. I think we all know the time, energy, and effort she put into the UNC system and the passion she brought. I had the good fortune of working with her closely for the last 6 months, and our friendship grew quickly. We've been in contact daily, and I continue to wish her well. And want to continue to thank her for the great impact she made on the state of North Carolina and the many great things she did. I also want to thank Carol Folt. As I said on my Elizabeth City interview, I want to stay focused, and we should all stay focused on the many great things that Carol did and accomplished at her time at Carolina. We live in a time when we forget all of the great stuff that happens in lieu of challenges that may come. But the fact is, many great things were done and accomplished in her tenure. And I think we need to be cognizant of that in that regards. I want to thank Bill Roper. We were fortunate and blessed to have someone with his experience, background, knowledge, skill set, expertise, professionalism, and commitment to the great state of North Carolina. And have really enjoyed working closely with Bill. I think we've all seen the infrastructure, the focus that he brings, and Really thank Dr. Roper for stepping up to help us and look forward to continuing working closely with him. I want to thank the Carolina Tar Heel community. I know it's been tough. We are working as a governing body along with the Chapel Hill trustees and doing what we think is the very best for the institution in the long run. I understand the passion and rightfully so. And as I tell everybody, everybody gets their passion out in different ways. Sometimes it can sting, but the fact is that's what makes the country great, and I have nothing but respect for that. As someone asked me the other day, how's it going? I said, well, you can gauge it by the cartoons lately, but we're hoping it gets on the upside of that. But I really want to thank the Carolina community. We hear you. We're working hard. I know that Bill is putting in a ton of time. And our goal there is just to get it right. And I have utmost faith that we're going to do that. On that, I did want to make a few comments about, what I've seen and witnessed, and what we can hope we can continue to do is just respect differing views and opinions and in a time where that seems to be a challenge. I am working hard myself in my walk in life to just do that. I think one of the strengths of this board is that we have 28 members with differing views and opinions. One of the things I focused on is to get those opinions and views out and to have each member's voice heard to ensure they have the information they need as we work through issues so that we can truly make the right decisions. And I genuinely believe that engaging in the right governance and process, allowing members to get their viewpoints and opinions out and ensure they got the data congruently, this board will continue to make great decisions in the best interest of the UNC system. Having said that, we will make decisions sometimes that creates passionate responses, and that's okay. We're going to stay focused on the result. On that, one of the things I would ask that I think is fair is to judge us as we go. I understand there's a lot of judging at the start. I use the reference for Western Carolina. This board worked through a very difficult process there. I think we made a great decision, and I think the outcomes will be congruent. Judge us as we go, and certainly judge us on the outcome. I think constructive criticism is and should be a healthy part of what we do. I welcome it. This board welcomes it. And again, we ask you to judge us as we go. And so with that, we're going to keep working hard and trying to focus on doing the right things. I want to thank the Board of Governors and their members. I am fortunate, as I have told many people, and blessed to be able to work with some of the brightest people that I think the state has to offer, that brings tremendous skill sets, passion, grit, and determination to a very difficult landscape. I think we all know the two pillars of society are healthcare and education. Both are under tremendous pressure. And so we are working hard and doing so in what we feel like is in the best interest of the state of North Carolina. This board has taken on a lot of difficult tasks that have been lineage issues. And though we haven't got the credit that I think we deserve in those regards, we're going to stay focused on just that, doing the right things, nothing more and nothing less. And so I want to thank this board and the membership team at GA, the leadership on the campuses, and ask that we continue to work together in the best interest of the state. I'm going to continue to have nothing but great respect for people's views and opinions and how they feel, no matter if it stings. And so we're going to stay on the high road in that regard and working very, very hard. And I ask for your considerations as we go through that process.
Again, that was Harry Smith, chair of the UNC System Board of Governors, addressing the university community as the board met on January 25th. As far as who will lead UNC Chapel Hill as an interim chancellor, that responsibility of naming the individual falls with interim UNC System President Dr. Bill Roper. He addressed what he was looking for in an interim leader for the campus when speaking with reporters after that board meeting.
I have lots of people that have been suggested to me. I do have, if I may use your question to respond, four criteria that I'm using in this discussion process, and I'll be brief. The first is, this is an interim chancellor. And people need to be understanding that we're trying to make a rapid decision, and this person is going to serve for a relatively limited period of time. But they need to be a person ready to go to work. And that's the second criterion. It will need to be someone who knows the situation here and who is known by the people here, so that the person, she, he, can hit the ground running without needing months to get up to speed about what our situation is. Third thing is, this needs to be somebody who is a person of stature, who has the gravitas to see what needs to happen to move the university forward, to chart a course and push ahead, and to push back on others and to bring folks together. And fourthly, it needs to be somebody that I trust and that the people around us here trust. We have other issues to deal with, and once having selected an interim chancellor, we need to be able to say, we got that one, now we move to some other things. So those are the four criteria.
And as for the future of the Confederate monument that stood on the Chapel Hill campus for more than 100 years, known as Silent Sam, which was removed as one of outgoing Chancellor Carol Fultz's final campus decisions, Roper said the process in place would continue, but that he would not be personally supportive of returning the statue to McCorkle Place.
The Board of Governors has a process in place, working through five members of the Board of Governors, working with the Board of Trustees and other leaders at UNC Chapel Hill to look carefully at the report that was produced by Chapel Hill in December, and making sure that that is the right path forward, what the plan is. And I look forward to being supportive of that effort. Speaking of the monument, though, although I was not supportive of the way the monument was taken down in August, my personal position is we should not be putting the monument back on McCorkle Place.
This is the WCHL Community Forum for the month of January. I'm Blake Hodge.
Thanks for listening to this month's 97.9 The Hill and ChapelBoro.com Community Forum. You can find audio of this forum and all previous forums on the on-demand page of ChapelBoro.com.